long, long time ago. A God whose voice the prophets heard. He is the God that we should know, who speaks from his inspired word. There is a God.
There is a God.
He is alive.
He is alive.
In him we live.
In him we live.
And we survive.
And we survive from the star God.
From the star God.
Created man.
Created man.
He is our God.
He is our God. Son upon a tree, a life was willing there to give, that he from sin might set men free, and evermore with him could live. There is a God.
There is a God.
He is alive.
He is alive.
In him we live. And we survive.
From the star God.
From the star God.
Created man.
Created man.
He is our God.
He is our God.
The great I am.
The great I am.
Amen. Please be seated. Wow, that felt good. That felt good. So... before we get started on our communion service, did everybody get a cup with the bread and the juice? If not, raise your hand, and we got some guys that are happy to bring you one. Nick needs one right there. Here, just a few folks. So I made a friend just a few minutes ago named Millie. She's six, right? So I'm going to talk to you about when I was six this morning. So... when I was about 6 years old, I lived in Morgantown, West Virginia, and I remember going distinctly, I loved going shopping with my mom, and there was this place, Hills, I don't know if they still have Hills anywhere, but Hills was this department store, and I went with my mom to Hills, and I was getting to where I was just old enough, she'd give me a little bit of freedom, I could wander around a little bit. And so I was kind of a jokester, a little bit of a prankster, and I thought, I'm going to hide in this rack. They had a circular rack with clothes hanging on it. I'm going to hide in that rack, and when she pulls these clothes back, I'm going to scare her. And so I had this great plan, only it didn't work out as planned. So she wandered off, and I'm sitting in that rack waiting for a long time. I'm sitting there waiting. She never came to the rack. So I'm like, then I couldn't find her. But I wasn't worried. You know, I was kind of like, all right, I'm going to wander around. Maybe I can jump from behind something else and scare. But no, I couldn't find her. And again, at first it was fine until it wasn't, right? And then all of a sudden I'm like, I don't know anybody in this store. I'm six. This is terrifying. And so I started to look around. I was getting a little nervous, and then I started getting frantic. And then all of a sudden I see... long brown hair, some bell bottoms with a beige shirt. I'm like, oh, that's mom. So I run over behind her and I grab her leg. I feel so much better. I look up and it's not my mom. It's some other lady. And I'm like, I was like the kid in Home Alone. I was like, And she looks and she looks at me and she's kind of scared. So I did get to scare somebody. And so I was like, you're not my mom. She's like, no, but I'll help you find your mom. So I was thankful. So we wandered around the store. Finally, I found my mom, and everything was good. So how is that relevant to our communion service today? Every single one of us is in that process. We are all lost, right? We've all been in that process where we've been lost. We might not be lost anymore, but we were there. It's a terrible feeling, right? And so our friends and our family, they're somewhere in that process too. And sometimes we think we're lost. We don't even realize we're lost, right? We're just having a good time, living a good life, we're happy. And then maybe something happens and we realize this isn't it. Our life's not complete. We are lost. Then maybe we put our hopes in something wrong. I put my hope in that lady that wasn't my mom. And I was like, oh, man, I'm not lost anymore. Oh, yes, I am. Until one day, I found my mom. Until one day you find Jesus, right? And then you're not. Then you're truly not lost anymore. And so each week, we gather together to remember that we aren't lost. We have hope in Jesus. And so we break the bread, we eat this bread together, we drink this juice that represents his blood, and we're so thankful for the communion service that God, that Jesus himself, created for us. We're thankful for this community. We're thankful for this time together where we can remember the sacrifice, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And because of that, we don't have to be lost anymore. And we can take it, and we're supposed to take it a step further, right? Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says that Jesus came to seek and save the lost, right? And so we are supposed to be like Christ as we live our lives here. We are supposed to be that. Others need to see Jesus in us. We need to seek and save the lost. And so that's my prayer for our church family today, is that we can remember what Jesus did for us, but that we leave here and we live a lifestyle where we are seeking and saving the lost, just like Christ did for us. So before we take the bread, let's pray together. Father God, we're so thankful for Jesus, and we're thankful for your plan of salvation for us, and we're thankful for Jesus' body that was broken, and just the act of love that he and the pain and suffering that he endured for us. And as we come together and we remember that sacrifice, help us to not just have it in our minds here today. Help us to not just focus on Jesus now, but help us to leave here and be that reflection of Christ to others. Help us to see others that are going through difficult times, that are wandering around, or those that aren't even aware that they're lost. Help us to be that light that others can see Jesus in. And it's in his name we pray these things. Amen. Let's continue our prayer before we take the cup. Father God, we're so thankful for the blood that was shed. I can't imagine how hard it was, not just for Jesus, but for you to see and endure that pain and suffering that occurred on our behalf. And we're so thankful that Jesus died for each and every one of us. We're thankful that when we stand before you, you don't see us. We're covered by his blood. And we're so thankful that because we know that we are flawed, we know that we sin and we struggle, and we're just so thankful that you had this plan of salvation for us. We're thankful for Jesus's willingness to endure that pain and suffering and to overcome death on our behalf, and help us to again focus on it, not just here today, but throughout our lives and throughout this week. And help us to bring others the good news of Christ in our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, over the last, 6-8 months, I've been so encouraged about some of the things that we've gotten to do together. The VBS was really cool. I really enjoyed that. I love seeing the passion and the work that y'all put in to VBS, and we were so appreciative of that. The backpack giveaway was amazing, and the lives that are touched. And you know, we sit there, and a lot of times we think about, you know, oh, we're helping somebody else. But the way that we feel when we're able to give, I mean, that's like the greatest gift, right? When we get to give somebody something that they want or need, that's the gift that honestly endures. And so. We do take a time where we pray over our offering. We don't pass a plate anymore after COVID, but we do. We want to pray that we use our financial blessings in a way that is consistent with how God would have us use those. And so, we're gonna pray over our offering this morning. And we're just thankful for our relationship with y'all and the work that we've been able to do together. And excited about other opportunities to serve together going forward. Let's pray. Father God, we're so thankful for all the blessings that we have, and we are truly, truly very blessed people. It's very easy to lose sight of how good you are to us, but we are so thankful for not just our financial blessings, but everything that you do. You understand and know our needs before we even realize that we have them. And Father, we do pray for wisdom. We pray that we use our blessings, but not just financially. Our time is one of our greatest resources, and we pray that we use our time, our finances, every asset that you give to us to further your kingdom and to bring others to Christ. And we just pray these things in his name. Amen.
All righty, kids. If you're age 2 to 6th grade, we have 2 separate classes for you guys. Just follow the ones that are running right now. There they go. Let's sing them out.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right, before Rich gets up here and blesses us with a sermon, we have 2 songs, so we know what that means. Let's stand up.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in 3 persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the crystal sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, who wast and art and evermore shalt be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in 3 persons, blessed Trinity. Love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God
God is love. Love one another, for love is of God. He who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Great, man. We good? Hey, the voice of God now. That song. So my mother-in-law, Sharon, passed away 2 years ago. And she was raised in the Church of Christ and passed on a rich heritage and love for a cappella music. I'm a Gentile. I don't know if you know this. I was not raised. I was a feral child. So my first family gatherings, they would get together and there'd be like 30 or 40 of them and they would sing parts. I don't know if you know this, but there's a whole sector of the world out there who does not know what parts are. That's where I come from. And so like, Rich, you're a bass. And I'm like, okay, great. I don't know what that means. Bass, how low can you go? What are we talking here, you know? And they began to teach me how to sing parts. And I'll never forget my mother-in-law sounding out the parts and teaching and like, and so to sing that song, they would sing that song. And I remember, this is an awesome song, right? And to sing that song together today, what a meaningful moment, man. I just imagine Sharon looking down right now, like, I gotta stop talking about Sharon. But I wanna start out by saying thank you so much to the Knauss City Church of Christ for your hospitality, for your warmth. Like, I got a call last Saturday. They call, they're like, Rich, we're getting the building set up. And I'm like, wow, they're ahead of schedule. Like, let's go. We're working, let's go, you know what I mean? And just the excitement. They got together Monday night and they did a song practice to be able to include some of our singers. And thank you guys so much, man. Your hospitality absolutely means the world to us. And it's been a beautiful time of worship already this morning. And thank you to the Iron Man song leader, Carson. Wow. He just kept going, man, song after song. Just so you know, we don't do that many songs, so like, we also don't know parts, okay? So I'm just getting it out there right now, you know? But oh man, what a the singing was unbelievable. And then Chris giving all of our six-year-old kids ideas. Don't worry, they're in Kids Kingdom back there saying, what he did was very wrong, kids. Don't ever do that to your dad and mom, okay? So we're gonna get that worked out, amen. But let's start off with a prayer, shall we? God, what an amazing moment to be a part of. Like when your heart is present, you love unity. You created this thing. It's yours. We're yours. And I just think about you in heaven right now, just overjoyed at your children loving one another, singing together. God, I know your heart is deeply moved, and we're grateful to be a part of this moment, Father. And we pray right now that your Spirit would use this time of Bible study together as we go through the text and we talk about things. I pray that your Spirit would work very powerfully through it to speak to all of our hearts and souls about this unity that you desire, God. So please be with us right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So that was the super reverent thing, right? We just prayed. Let's do something a little irreverent, shall we? Let's take a picture. I want a picture. Well, it's not really irreverent. Like, family pictures happen, right? So we're going to take a picture together. Okay, ready? You guys good? Everybody in? Let me see if that took it. Oh, yeah, I think that works. Well, I'm really sweaty. All right, amen. Look in your Bibles in John chapter 17. Got a lot of exciting stuff going on. We got a chili cook-off going on this afternoon. I'm ready for that. I love me some chili. I heard there's cornhole. Cornhole got mentioned. All right. Yesterday was also a big day for us in the Kanawha Valley Church. We do an annual flag football tournament, and we are currently the reigning... Oh, is this the clicker? Thank you, sir. We are currently the four-time reigning champions of this flag football tournament. And as of yesterday, we are the five-time reigning champions of the OVR Flag Football Tournament. So it was great fun. We had a blast. Great rich fellowship. I mean, it was amazing. And so there's our crew right there. We only had like nine of us, and it's 7-on-7. So we had a long day yesterday. It was the Ironman Flag Football Tournament, but it was a great time. So that was a lot of fun. Okay, look with me over in John chapter 17. I want to study today the unity that God wants us to have. Amen? Obviously, we all know Jesus prayed in his last night there, or towards the end there. He's praying, and he prays for unity. Five times he prays for unity in this prayer. Okay? And we're going to pick it up in verse 20. It says, my prayer is not for them alone, talking about the apostles. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message. That's us. We're here this morning. Why? I believe the message. Jesus rose from the dead. He's the king of the universe. Salvation is in him. It's our allegiance to him and being a part of his kingdom. Amen, church? We're all in on this, right? Not only for him, but for those who believe his message. This is us he's praying for. What a cool thought. 2,000 years ago, Jesus talked to his Father about us today. That's awesome. That all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you sent me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them. Love them even as you have loved me. All right. Does anybody remember haikus in elementary school? I'll never forget. I don't know why it's such a core memory for me. I'll never forget the day that the teacher broke out the haiku. Because I was shaken by it. It doesn't rhyme. It's not a poem. It's confusing, right? It has to do with how many this is a lame poem. But here's some Oh, no, that's our passage. Hey, that's a good passage. I'm terrible at PowerPoint. Everybody knows this by now. All right, here's a good morning haiku from a cat. In the morning light, you sleep despite my meow. I stand on your face.
Beautiful.
I know, it's very moving, right? A haiku about getting up. I love my pillow. My alarm clock is beeping. No, 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 no. This could also be called Ode to My Daughter Mia. Haiku about writing a haiku. To end this poem, I need one more magic line. Abracadabra. Right. I'm sorry. Is anybody in here a haiku fan? Oh, we have some haiku. I'm so sorry, guys. That's insanely disturbing. There are, but it doesn't hit with most of us because we're Westerners and we like them to rhyme, right? We like them to have a little meter and rhyme. Anyway, well, back in Jewish times, there was a kind of poetry called a chiasm. And I'm not going to bore us to death with chiasms, but this prayer is, in fact, a chiasm. And the way a chiasm works is it repeats lines and it frames thoughts with other lines and it points to a main thought. You with me? That's as much chiasm background as I'm going to give. But if you look at this passage, Jesus is praying in a chiasm format. And you see the first part, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in his message. So that's the intro. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Okay? Then he goes on to the next part. This is the next part of the chiasm. So that the world may believe that you have sent me. Then we get to the center part, okay? Where if you look below, that they may be one as you are one. See, he's repeating what he repeated up above. And then it says, so they may be brought to complete unity, repeating once again. So it points to the central axis of this chiasm being, I have given them the glory that you gave me. The point is, the unity Jesus wants us to have, he's giving us a reference point for it in the glory that God gave Jesus. You with me? There's a lot in that, okay? And a lot of options of what it is. I want to discuss one possible option of what it might be. You with me? And we're going to kind of trail John's writings throughout. But first, let's look over in Genesis chapter 1. Or it's up on the screen there. It says in Genesis chapter 1, so God created mankind in his image, in the image of God. He created them male and female. He created them. God's glory, his nature is his image. And we are his image bearers. Amen? When God created humanity, when he created us, we bear his image. Well, what is God like? God is a Trinity. He is three in one. We just sang a beautiful song about it. Father, you know, God in three persons, blessed Trinity, right? He is three persons. He is in his very fabric. He is a family. Relationship is his essence. Community is his character. This is what Jesus is referring to when he prays, when he says, you're in me and I'm in you. And we as humans, we are created for community. Our glory is relationships. You with me? Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. Right? Well, why isn't it good for man to be alone? First, because he'll kill himself. Right? That would have been a short story. So need a woman. Right? I saw this joke. Thought I'd share it with you. The professor put that up on the board and said, go punctuate that correctly. Men went up and punctuated woman, comma, without her man, comma, is nothing. The women went up and punctuated it, women, exclamation point, without her, man is nothing. I think the second one's closer to right. No, but why isn't it good for man to be alone? Because by himself, he can't image bear. How's he supposed to image bear if there's no community? If there's no relationships? And so God creates woman so that there can be family. It's his fabric. He creates another so there can be relationship because that's who he is. Amen? And so we can image bear in relationships. In chapter 2, verse 25. It says, Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Don't worry, church. Relax. We tend to look at the physical aspect of that, right? But there's another aspect of being naked and feeling no shame. It's vulnerability. I don't know about you, but you get naked, you feel kind of vulnerable. That's why people generally don't do it out in public. We're grateful, right? Amen. Because it's also awkward and off-putting. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot to that. Vulnerability, okay, was a massive part of the garden experience. Their ability to be completely themselves, to be fully known, and be safe was the garden experience. Is this really what it's talking about? Well, what happens in Genesis chapter 3? It says, then the eyes of, they eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It says, then the eyes of them, of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord, their Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God. The day before Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the thing they rejoiced in the most was shameless vulnerability. Being able to be completely themselves and to be loved and accepted and cared about and known. You with me? That's the glory of our humanity. Once they ate the fruit, they felt shame and they hid. What if the glory that is revealed, that Jesus reveals, is shameless community where we are safe to be fully known? I know what you're thinking. Rich, that's crazy. That's crazy. That ain't right. That can't be right. Being religious means you put on your religious face. I dress nicer on Sunday mornings than I ever dress. Ask my family. I have a standard outfit. It's black shorts, blue shirt, and shoes that I can work out in. You with me? Like, this is, you get the nicest of me. That's what church is. You just look as good as you can. I know others, you're dressing down compared to day to day, whatever, but you know what I mean? That's what being religious is, right? Look over in 1 John. Let's track his thoughts, shall we? 1 John chapter 1. We're going to read through a good chunk of chapter 1 and 2 and make some comments as we do. I'll read the first part while you're turning there, simply because it's so... Oh, am I supposed to click? My daughter said, click the thingy. Good job. Thank you. Okay. We'll start in verse 5. It says, this is the message we've heard from him and we declare to you. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live out the truth. John is saying, this is the message you've heard. I've already given you this message. Well, where did he give that message? Well, let's look back at John chapter 3, shall we? Where Jesus speaking, he says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. They're ashamed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. John's saying, this is what Jesus taught us. This is what he came to show us. Think about it. We watch games, and what verse is that every single game you ever watch? I was watching one a couple weeks ago, and they put it up backwards. And I was like, well, A for effort. They know what you're talking about, okay? When was the last time anybody put up John 3, 19 through 21? I ain't seen that at a game yet. I watch a lot of sports. I'm kind of a sporty guy. It ain't out there. No one wants to talk about this idea of, you know, not wanting to come into the light, not wanting to be real, not wanting to be honest. You with me? John's saying, look, this is not a new message, guys. This is what you were taught by Jesus about what it means to follow him. And he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we do not live out the truth. Now, the Greek word for darkness is skatia. It's where we get the word obscurity. So to live in darkness is kind of to be obscure. When I hear obscure, you know what I think? Shady. It's like, I'm not completely hiding, but I ain't exactly coming out. I'm finding that shady area. You with me? Obscurity. Not completely in the light, but I'm not. We're Christians. We know we're not supposed to be completely in the dark, people, right? but I can find that nice, shady, comfortable area. You with me? It contrasts that with living out with lie and do not live out the truth. The Greek word for that is aletheia. It's where we get the word reality. Okay? This is the person who, this is me. Here I am. This is reality. Good, bad, ugly. You with me? You see me. And you get the picture. Don't get too much of a picture. But you get the picture of the garden. When you're naked, that's as real as you get. Right? Here you see the rolls. You see the extra. You see the scars. You see the warts. You see the little hairy moles. You know what I mean? You get the full deal. You with me? That's what he's talking about here. This is about Christianity being about we are real or we are shady. Amen, church? And he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we live in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Amen? It's this invitation into real fellowship. Verse 8, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and forgives us our sins, purifies us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. And the church said, amen. Right? Okay. I think we're all familiar with that passage. I like that passage. It's a good one. As you can tell, I'm a fan. Right? But what I want to do is some talk about the next part. Because I think this changed for me recently. And has radically shifted my perspective on church and being a Christian. Verse 3. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Now, I've always read that and I think, well, what commands is he talking about? Like all the commands, you know what I mean? Love your neighbor, forgive, pray for those who hurt you, all that kind of. He's talking about the command he just talked about before. Walking in the light. You with me? He's saying, look, this you got to do that, right? If we keep his commands. Whoever says I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth, reality, is not in that person. But if anybody obeys his word, in other words, does this walking in the light thing, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So now we have to ask the question, because I've always read that passage, and I thought, well, anyone who, what does it say? Everyone who claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. I always thought, well, yep, got to keep the commands, got to forgive people who hurt you, you got to make disciples, we got a whole list of them, right? Things that Jesus teaches us. And I've always thought, okay, you got to do all those things. But again, what's the context? Walking in the light. You with me? Well, did Jesus do that? Because it's saying we have to do what Jesus did. Did he do that? Well, in John chapter 1, verse 39, he's out walking around and the disciples walk up to him and he says, well, what do you want, right? Do you remember what they asked? Show us where you're staying. He's like, come on, you can see. Like he invited people into his life. He was not a Sunday preacher or Saturday preacher back then or, you know, whatever it was. Like he wasn't this dude that like, hey, come and I'll teach you some good facts and then go do your life over there away from me. Because I've got to live my real life, whatever. You with me? He's like, no, come on to my house. What was Jesus' house like? Have you guys seen The Chosen? He lives in a tent out in the woods. I don't know if that's a fact or if he had a place. I don't know exactly. He says, foxes have dens. I got no place to live. I don't know. The point is, he said, come on. Like, this is real. Let's be friends. You with me? John chapter 12, verse 27. He's, you know, getting towards the end. He looks up to heaven and says, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? He's not like, well, I'm the pastor, and therefore I've got to say the right thing and act the right way. And so, no, he's very open and vulnerable. You get to Matthew chapter 26. He pulls his three closest friends to him. He says, I'm overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. This is not about being religious. It's about being real. He is honest. He is vulnerable. He is gut level with these guys. You with me? So Jesus did it. I know. I can see you're not convinced yet. You're still like, Rich, I'm not quite buying it. Stay with me. Verse 7, dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one. Again, here we go. Which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Now brace yourself. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. I have always read that as if I have a bad attitude with Jackson, then man, I'm in the darkness. Jackson and I have no beef. Jackson's a good dude. I like Jackson. Right? But you know what I mean? Like, as long as I'm not like hurt, you know, getting all angry with people and you know what I mean, then I'm obeying this. But is that actually what it's talking about? Anyone who loves their brother and sister, verse 10, hone in on this, guys. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. Hating our brother and sister is not having a bad attitude with them. Hating our brother and sister is not being honest with them. Read it. Look at it. It's right there. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. They're honest. They're real. Hating my brother and sister is playing church. It's coming in with my better than normal attire on, doing my pastorly duties of saying nice things and good to see you, brother. And not being honest about my real life. You with me? That's what it's saying here. And it gets better, though. You with me? That's intense. All right, let's everybody take a deep breath. Rich is bringing it. What's up, Rich? What do we do, man? It's supposed to be a fun first serve, whatever. Listen to this. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light. There's nothing in them to make them stumble. Think about that. There's nothing in them to make them stumble. Anybody here struggle with sin? Everybody, you better, like after this, everybody better be like, oh, yeah, there it is, Rich. Rich talked about it. Yeah, it's real. Living in the light, there's nothing in them to make them stumble. This is transformational, guys. This is what God wants for his church. It's to be so real, such a safe place that we are honest and overcoming. That's his desire. But anyone who hates a brother or sister, there we go. We're back at hating our brothers and sisters. Not bad attitudes, right? What is hating our brother and sister? Is in darkness and walks around in darkness. They don't know where they're going, because the darkness has blinded them. That's deep, isn't it? Dude, I'm telling you, I read this recently and I was like, you know when your mind gets blown over Bible study? This was like 8 of them in one time. I was like, no way! Guys, why are we talking about this? Well, let's look at a couple points. Let's close out with a couple points. You guys are like, you guys, Rich, you've been in. I forgot to put that passage up. That's a good one. My daughter didn't tell me. Blame it on her. Okay. Point number one, merger matters, but relationships rule. Everybody, we're together, right? And so it's kind of like, what is this all about? Why are we doing this? Are we getting together? Are we not getting together? I kind of feel like, you know, when a guy comes around, kind of hanging out with my daughter, I'm like, what's your intentions? I want to know where this is going. What are you? Okay? Let's be honest, okay? We're talking about being honest. What's happening here? we're hanging out. We like each other. We do some fun stuff together. We're worshiping together now. Like, where's this going? Is it a date? Is it a, I don't know, what are we doing, you know? Is it a merger? I don't know. I don't know. We don't know. We're listening to God. We fasted and prayed on Monday. The elders got together right there at 6:30 in the morning and prayed to God and fasted on Monday because we don't know what the Spirit's doing. Merger? I don't know. No merger? I don't know. We don't know. But I'll tell you what matters. Real relationships. This. Whether we meet in a building or not, I don't care. But this is real Christianity. This is if we're going to do it right. Are you with me? This is what Jesus wants. Shameless openness. But let's be honest. Shameless openness requires trust. You with me? Nobody walks in and is like, hey, here's the deepest, darkest secrets of my life, random stranger. That's weird. Don't do that. That's not what I'm saying, okay? Let's just get that out there. I actually had that happen one time. We had a family over. They came to church one time. They came over for dinner, whatever. And the dad stood in the living room, and he just goes, Pastor, I'm this, and I'm this. He just starts confessing his sin, and I'm thinking, we got kids running around. I'm like, this is awkward. This got weird real quick. Yeah. I'm not suggesting that at all, okay? But we have to have the same destination in mind and begin that journey. You with me? It's about building relationships. It's about building trust. It's about getting to know each other more deeply. I'm excited. I'm going to tell you what I'm excited about. I'm excited to know what you do for a living. In the grand scheme of things, what you do for a living doesn't matter that much. Our deep spiritual selves matter. Now, we need to get through what you do for a living and how many kids you have and where you vacation and what's your, I don't know, favorite team or, you know what I mean? Like, we get through the stuff, but I want to know you. Now, I'm not going to ask you the first, like, you know what I mean? Like, you get my point here, right? It's a journey of depth and discovery. So what I would encourage is, and I do want to say this. This is super important to say. We're trying to build this fellowship in our church. Like we do small groups, right? And this week at small group, we were like, we want our small groups to be like AA meetings. We want it to be that raw, right? But when people open up that raw, they need to be met with grace and truth. They need to be met with love, with affection, with support, with encouragement, and truth. And it was really, really cool. We had a group this week, and we're talking a lot about maturing into ministry. Are you guys doing okay? Have I been going a while? I'm having a good time up here, so sorry about that. If you guys are, you know. we were talking about maturing into ministry, and we had talked about it, but we hadn't really talked about it. And so we're like, how are you guys feeling about it? And it was the coolest thing because Rory Kelch, he goes, man, I remember being a young Christian. Every time I would hear the call to like leadership and I would just be so inspired, be so fired up. Like, I want to do that. He's like, but if I'm honest, now when I hear that, I'm kind of like miffed. I'm kind of like, oh, I got to do more. You know, I don't want to overstate his words or whatever. But he was really honest about it. And it was awesome. And he was met with grace and truth. We shared a passage, and he came to me yesterday at the flag football tournament. He's like, Rich, man, that passage was so good that was shared, right? Grace and truth, because he's being honest. He's being real that he does not want to do what we're saying to do as a church. You with me? Some of you right now are feeling, I don't want to do any of this. No, I'm just kidding. But it's this kind of reality. We've got to be able to talk about our marriages. You with me? Like, it's easy to have marriage conflict and never bring it into the light. We've got to be able to talk about parenting. It's hard to parent kids. Man, our oldest daughter Kiara is in town from school. She was a really hard teenager to parent. She did not want to be a Christian. And man, to have a place where I could go and talk about my fears and ask for help and be met with grace and truth. As a minister, like, you know what happens to ministers whose families go crazy? Not good things. Now, my kids are awesome. Please don't feel any pressure to whatever. But you get the point, right? It's a scary, vulnerable place to say to people in my church, hey, I'm having a hard time. My kid is haywire. You with me? But to be met with grace and truth and helped our marriage, to be able to talk about conflict in our marriage, say, here's really what happened yesterday. This conversation didn't go well. Man, we need that. We need that space. Amen? Sexual purity, alcohol, difficult emotions, struggles with sin. These things have to be brought into the light and met with a fellowship of grace and truth. Amen? And the goal, well, I'll leave that. The other thing I did want to say about this is today is the result of this kind of openness. And I really want to encourage the Kanawha City Church. You guys as elders and their wives are some of the coolest people I have ever met. We had a dinner a couple weeks ago, and it was just kind of like, we don't know what to say, but let's just be honest. And Chris started it. He just like, I got no notes. I hadn't even thought about anything to say. Here's what I'm thinking. And just blah, poured out his heart. And then everybody just poured out their, and by, I'm like, if you haven't figured it out, I cry a lot. I'm like, oh, teared up. I'm like, oh, man. It felt like one of the most unique works of the Holy Spirit I've ever been a part of. We weren't there posturing, my church is doing just fine. We got it all together. Like we're you with me? It was just honest. Here's what's going on. Here's how we're feeling. How's our, and it was beautiful. Today is a result of that kind of humility. Amen? Two other quick points. It's our only chance to change. I think we've driven this home pretty intensely. Jesus says that when we do this, there's nothing in them to make them stumble. I want that. You with me? I want that. Nothing in them to make them stumble. The reality is real disciples, people who embrace the light and being truthful, mature, and grow. Shady disciples do not. Does that make sense? This is our only chance to really change. Lastly, so the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, one of the biggest questions that this generation asks, most of us, especially in the Church of Christ, we come from what's called modern thought. Modern thought believed in humanity's ability to figure anything out based on the Enlightenment and the scientific method and all this kind of stuff. And that was applied to the Bible by Alexander Campbell and all the greats of the, you know, Restoration. And they thought if we study the Bible, we can figure out how to do this, right? It's very modern thought. And so we are a very modern thought people as a church. This generation does not care so much about the truth. Is it true or not? They don't really care if it's true or not. You want to know what they want to know? Does it work? Don't tell me what the truth is. Show me. Does it actually work? And two of the biggest slams on Christianity, you want to know what they are? People don't actually live this stuff out. And they divide over and over again. They can't even get along. So the whole world will know that he sent us. Guys, us building this, us doing this, and really living this and maturing and changing, people will look and say, wow, look, there's a family that's actually doing it. What? There's a single person that's actually being pure and dating purely. What? It works. Wow, there's a guy who used to live this way and now has changed. It works. What? There's two churches who used to hate each other and now they're worshiping together on Sunday. It works. What? and the whole world will know. Guys, this was Jesus' prayer for us in the garden. That gives me chills. I don't know about y'all, but that like, whew. We got a chance to live this out, guys. One of the most unique chances I've ever experienced in my life is happening right now. If we'll choose, I'm going to be real. I'm going to go after those relationships. Even if I'm not ready to undress just yet, maybe I'll pull up my sleeves a little. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll... You with me? So that's my challenge for today, is as we fellowship, it's great to get to know everybody's jobs. Can't wait to hear what all you guys do. It's going to be super fun. But maybe ask some deeper questions. What are the two most influential spiritual books you've ever read? I want to know that about you. Tell me your conversion story. What did Jesus rescue you from? How did Jesus work in your life? What are you learning in your relationship with God? Let's kind of go down a level, if you would. You with me? And build some real fellowship so that we may be one as Jesus intends us to be, and so that the whole world will know that God sent him. Amen, church.
Amen. Standing in the back, standing in the front, or if you need to be prayed over, you can just go to your neighbor. I mean, this is an open place. But let's stand and sing, and then we'll pray us out.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well. My soul, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
It is well, it is well with my soul.
And Lord, haste the day when the fish shall be sight,
the clouds be rolled back as scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
With my soul.
It is well. It is well with my soul.
Amen. Please remain standing.
Worshiping with us on this Lord's Day. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day you've given us, and we thank you, Father, that you allowed us to assemble here today to worship together with our brothers and sisters from Kanawha Valley Church. And we pray, Father, that your blessings be upon each one that's gathered here. Father, help us as we listen to Rich's message and from your word that we can gain that unity that Christ had with you, and that help us to live in a way that reflects that unity with each other. Father, there's a number of our members that are sick and suffering, and we pray that you would be with each one of them, that you would help them as they have need. We pray, Father, for those that couldn't be here today, whether it be the travel, or several of our members that are at Canaan Valley, and they're worshiping with you. We pray your blessings be upon them. Father, we thank you for Jesus, your Son and our Savior, who gave his life that we might have that hope of an eternal home in your kingdom. Father, as we depart this building to go back to our homes, we pray that you watch over and care for us until that time when we return to worship again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.